Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Missing oats and culture of lies and let's see, what else do we have? Eliminating the divine design. I'm at 32,000 feet examining the other side of clouds, returning from a visit to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter and Creation Museum in Kentucky. If you've not been, make plans. It's awesome. If you have, and it's been a while, time to return. This is our second visit. It's our 50th anniversary. We'll go to Arizona next and then to Monterey before we return to settle back into our routines. This will be a special show of sorts. I'll discuss three things. First, the fascinating prophecy in Daniel that points to the transhumanism movement we see developing right now in front of our eyeballs. Second, the illegitimate government operating in America right now. And I'm not only talking about a stolen election here, friends. Wait for it. And then third, biblical versus humanist culture and why American culture is in the virtual toilet right now. And so, my friends, without further ado, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I'll pick up on my examination of Trump next week. We discussed the LGBTQ thing last time. I'll address the COVID war and rush to vaccine next. I said at the beginning of this, they were setting a trap. These medical quacks knew the vaccine would not work. Burks said so. And there's more. They set Trump up to take the fall, but I'll show why it's going to fail. Haman built gallows intended for Mordecai, but God had other plans. And that might be a bit inside for some of you. I'll explain it next week. Today, I'm going to talk to you about something I think you will, or at least you should, find interesting and deeply troubling at the same time. Some of you are hearing Trump say, or have heard him say, he's going to be back in the White House sooner than you think. He means it, friend. So we're going to talk about the fact that the current regime in the White House is totally illegitimate and without authority. And I'm not only talking about the stolen election. It's something else, too. And you'll not be surprised. You know what I mean? But first, anyone who thinks the Patriots have no plan to stop this train wreck orchestrated by the deep state is, I think, mistaken. Now, whether or not the plan works, frankly, that's up to God. Pray for the plan, what part you have in the plan, and then work the plan. I pray every day and often through the night. No, really, through the night. And one of the things I pray a whole lot about is for a divine intervention, a Tower of Babel level, capital I, capital N, T-E-R, and so on, a major reach of the hand of God from heaven to earth to shake down this latest version of Nimrod's tower, the globalist dream of a one-world government, gathering the world together in defiance of God's laws to throw off the bands and cords of Christ the King, Psalm 2. And God is coming. He's going to rend the heavens and come down and answer to our cries, I'm sure. The king is coming, and the tower will be destroyed and the enemy scattered. Karl Schwab and his fake prophet, Harari, was it Yuval, and their transhumanist dream of organic machines, humanoid robots, promising the next evolutionary leap from mere humans made in the image and likeness of God, you know, that old yarn, to becoming little gods made by man. made by Karl Schwab and his crowd, fulfilling the promise of Satan to Eve, remember that one? But actually, enslaving mankind by their technocratic despotism, erasing the God gene, you've read about that one, breaking the male-female binary, and destroying family units, ending humanity as God designed it. Well, it's going to fail. You see, Daniel said they cannot mingle the iron with the clay. Yeah, Daniel foresaw this attempt to mix the machine, the iron, with the man, the clay. It was depicted in Nebuchadnezzar's dream image when he noted the mixing of iron with clay. And it says, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay, Daniel 2:43. Now, it's a very enigmatical verse, but as I've taught over the many years I've worked in prophecy, some of these strange prophetic scriptures will become increasingly clear as we approach fulfillment. Iron, the chemical element of atomic number 26, with the elemental symbol Fe, is, according to my onboard dictionary, a material much used in manufacturing, especially in the form of steel. It is evident to everyone that machines are, in the main, manufactured from steel, and the prophecy is that they will attempt to combine this metallic humanoid with the fundamental element of organic biologic life, the seed of man. And this, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, was represented by this mixing of iron with the seed of man. But it's going to fail. Quote, they will not cleave one to another, end quote. As a man and a woman cleave, you see, and become one flesh, well, it's not going to work. They're going to fail to eliminate the divine design of procreation. They're going to fail to create a biologic machine. They're going to attempt it, and being deceivers as they are, they'll fake it, but they will not achieve it. They will finally get so far as to make an image talk and demonstrate sentience, but it will be an illusion. You see how all these things going on are just moving history toward the fulfillment of these amazing prophecies in the Revelation and in Daniel. While Christ's spirit is present to restrain the spirit of Antichrist, they will not succeed to set up the image of the beast or construct their dark tower. We are in their way, and they know this, and their hatred of us grows. But though the gallows they construct are intended for us, God has another plan. More on this amazing prophecy from Daniel in an upcoming Bible study at the Lighthouse. I teach on biblical prophecy, by the way, every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Now, about Trump's repeated statement that he will return to the White House sooner than you think. Biden officials are imposters who swear no allegiance to the United States. Get a load of this interview on Brighteon with attorney Todd Callender and his assistant Lisa McGee. Todd represents those who are disabled by the COVID vaccine. His organization is called Disabled Rights Advocates, and his website is dradvocates.com. His firm represents cases on the question of whether those receiving the vaccine become chattel or property of Pfizer or Moderna or whoever. Lisa researches issues related to informed consent and the Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson, and AstraZeneca jabs and so on. Anyway, in this interview, they reveal a finding that Attorney General Garland, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, and others do not have a loyalty oath on file. Yeah, there's no properly filed record that they've sworn allegiance to defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies, foreign and domestic. If this is true, these officials are not legally holding power. You think it's a mere technicality that none of Biden's cabinet members have a legally binding oath of office on file with the Federal Register? The backstory here, Todd and Lisa kept running into very strange things as they pursued research to support their cases filed to press the question whether these mRNA vaccine patents actually create a hybrid human that becomes property of the vaccine patent holders. Yeah, this is a real thing. And a legitimate legal question, by the way, that's raised by the language of the patents held for the mRNA vaccines. Now, some of this I brought to your attention a bit back, but the story is developing. After Todd filed against the Department of Defense, his team noticed a very strange argument being presented by the Department of Defense. For example, the DOD argues that the shots are outside public or civic scrutiny or jurisdiction because they are weapons, military countermeasures against a biological attack. What? What do they know that they've not been telling us? As they pressed this, and the team became increasingly uneasy about the unconstitutionality of all of this nonsense, and the strong sense that persons in our own DOD were representing the interests of foreign governments, namely China, that they were possibly involved in treasonous activity, all of this a violation of the oath of office required of all federal officers and military personnel above a certain rank, I think 06. Well, Lisa decided to use the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, to see or to inquire whether or not Mr. Austin, Secretary of Defense, had registered under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, and then also They inquired as to whether he had a valid oath of office on file, expecting to find one and to present it as evidence against them and their abuse of their power. Well, the DOD stalled. It took 9 months to get the information. So Todd and his firm were gearing up to sue, you know, to compel the Department of Defense to release these records. And, quote, "We received notice from Mr. Austin and, astoundingly, the entire Biden cabinet, effectively, to our very great surprise, we were notified that none have a valid oath of office on file. None had the affidavits of oath of office filed with the Federal Registry." What? Todd explained that this is a violation of law, 5 U.S.C. 331 and 332. Not one of Biden's cabinet members had a valid oath of office on file with the Federal Registry. They were all either defective or just missing. Okay, so someone forgot to have their oath of office notarized, but the entire cabinet? Come on. Todd said without this oath of office on file, there is no other way to prove there is a duty for this person to support and defend the Constitution. And of equal concern, without this duly filed, well, they have no authority to serve under the Constitution. This law comes out of the Civil War era, by the way. I don't have time to go into the background there. But the statute reads that if this oath is missing for the Federal Registry, if there is no notarized oath or a sworn affidavit of oath of office on file, then all of their acts are void ab initio. And that means from the start. That is, they're actors without real authority. Todd's firm filed a writ of quo warranto, and that is a demand to show your authority, by the way. Todd filed their complaint, their writ of quo warranto, with U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, assuming at that time that he had real authority to act, that he had such an oath on file. The reason they did that is because the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, well, he's one of those whose oath of office is defective. Not only is his oath of office not notarized, it doesn't even show an appointment date. Then, by the time they sent this claim off to the U.S. attorney, Lisa received notice that Matthew Graves also has a defective oath of office. I mean, they began to discover none of these clowns have a bona fide oath of office on file. Why? And why would the federal registrar be so neglectful as to ignore this legal requirement? Now, that's actually a question not raised in the interview, but it sure came up in my mind. By the way, the U.S. Attorney General's office is responsible for prosecuting the J6 political prisoners. How ironic is it then that Oath Keeper, founder and president Rhodes, was sentenced by these jackals to 18 years in prison for alleged crimes against the federal government? Now, think about that. Todd's firm decided to do everyone, that is to check everybody out, and they began getting immediate pushback. They testified they were sent on a rabbit chase. Very early on, they said, quote, "We realize something is very wrong here," end quote. They're trying to hide something. Why would they not have their oath of office on file with the Federal Registry as per law? Every appointee must file his or her oath of office with the Federal Registry, either notarized or by an affidavit sworn under penalty of perjury. And by law, this must be done within 30 days of their appointment. Is this merely a dereliction of duty, total incompetence, or is this on purpose? And how serious is this? Well, apparently, it's of sufficient concern to motivate them to want to stop letting this information get out to the public when they discovered it was happening. Recently, FOIA has closed the Federal Registry from FOIA requests. What? Where do they get that authority? They closed the door, obviously, to protect a secret that they're keeping. Now, what about Trump's cabinet? Todd and Lisa were told they could not grant access to those records because they are archived for his library and they will be released when processing is completed. You've got to be kidding me. That they can't go over there and get copies. And this is, okay, it's obvious what's going on here. And they would have no interest in protecting Trump, let me tell you. As the team continued digging around, they discovered this is a problem throughout the federal government. And after further research, they figure it probably goes back to 1963. You see, in that year, the Communist Manifesto, called included in a book called The Naked Communist, which you ought to read, was read into the congressional record. In that manifesto, the 13th agenda item of the Communist Party's plan to destroy America was to, and is, to eliminate the oath of office. Why? Well, they don't want the conscience of any American to be bound by any oath to protect our Constitution. Later that year, Kennedy was assassinated. Almost every key player in the deep state does not have, probably every key player in the deep state, does not have a legal oath of office on file with the Federal Registry. Even in the military, officers 06 and higher are missing their oaths of office. In the military? Really? Even the federal courts are affected. The Chief Justice of the U.S. District Courts, James Boasberg, has a defective oath of office on file. Todd and Lisa say they are having a difficult time finding a court presided over by a judge who has a proper oath of office on file. The most common problem is the oath is missing notarization or a sworn affidavit. In many cases, the language of the oath has been changed. And I don't know if I mentioned the language is also a subject of statute that's controlled by law. But they substituted in their own stuff. I mean, it's like they're ad-libbing their oaths of office, just playing loose with this. And another, by the way, a ceremonial swearing in does not count legally. That's a formality for public show. When Mayorkas was challenged to present his writ of quo warranto, which is proof of his authority to act, and the Federal Registry stalled and his office hemmed and hawed, well, they finally got a response, that is Todd and Lisa, an AP article covering his swearing-in ceremony. That was it. Friend, that doesn't count. The fact is, this has no oath of office on file with the Federal Registry. None. I wonder if he has an oath to some other authority. I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying. Kamala, she doesn't even know how to pronounce her name. Swore them all in. Every one of them switched the wording on the verbal reciting. She used an inaccurate oath. Now, I think Todd said she made the oath a question rather than a declaration. Maybe it was Lisa. Anyway, we know these people are incompetent. Are they really, though? Or are they just very competent? I think the larger question is this. Is there no one anywhere in the bureaucracy that knows what the rules are and is superintending this, supervising this registry? Here's something I do know about bureaucrats. They are, as a class, if you will, characteristically bulldog fastidious about the rules, man. I mean, rules and procedure is their life. They're trained this way. It's ingrained in them because that's their thing. They are also career-minded, however. If you find a bureaucrat going squirrely with the rules, well, you have a bureaucrat that's protecting their career from someone over them that controls their advancement who has an agenda. Bet on it. It's a sure thing. No way there is not one bureaucrat in the Federal Registry who is not fully aware of all this, who is irritated by it, but whose concerns are squelched and suppressed by a concern for their own career. They know the real legal significance of a failure to file a proper oath of office. And friend, I'm done playing this what a coincidence game. At what point does coincidence equal criminal conspiracy? Now, Todd said, yeah, maybe one person perhaps fails to get his or her oath notarized. And he suggests that, however, when you see a pattern developing here involving literally every key federal appointee extending into the military, well, then you begin to be concerned about a plan here. Perhaps treason? He reasoned, if everyone is missing their oath of office, there's no proof of duty. He said, it's a dodge. They can't hang for treason if they never declared an oath. So they can only be held on impersonating an official. Yeah, I have a couple of questions about this. First, I understand bureaucrats and bureaucracy. I've dealt with them. So have you. Every bureaucracy has persons specifically positioned to watch for exactly this sort of thing. A signature missing, a notary missing, an affidavit missing, language not right. These people are tasked with making certain every I is dotted and every T has a properly positioned crossbar. There is no way this many cases of sloppy record keeping goes this long unless it's by design. You see, you have 1.4 million people ordered to take a jab, right? Without full consent and without even being fully aware of the consequences. It was an illegal order. Someone not bound by any oath gave this illegal order. Mayorkas is engaged of acts of treason and should be prosecuted and tried for treason. But, according to Todd, without an oath of office, all you can get him for, legally, technically speaking, is impersonating an official. Well, I suppose that's the argument they will use. But I don't think that'll work in a court of real justice. Remember Nuremberg? You know, I was doing my duty, didn't cut it, friend. Participating in human weapons and drug trafficking under color of law for the benefit, and this is the key, for the benefit of a foreign power? Friend, that's treason. Period. If you're an American citizen, you're assumed to be under oath. Okay, I need to wrap up this point. If we can't get redress before our own courts, where do we go? Well, we need to go to a state that has legitimate authority. Todd mentioned Texas, and specifically Colonel Pete Chambers. But the only Colonel Pete Chambers I found is filing suit against the government for drumming him out of the National Guard, because after experiencing a vaccine injury himself, he warned fellow soldiers of the potential negative side effects of the vaccine. So, I don't understand how this Colonel Chambers could deputize someone to arrest somebody else, but that's what Todd is saying, unless he's speaking about some other Colonel Chambers that I can't find. Frankly, by the way, this was a part in the interview that caused me to kind of pause and think, is this whole thing a red herring? I suppose it could be. It's so crazy out there, who knows anymore? But according to Todd, the Friends of Our Liberties are working on a way to begin challenging the authority of these renegade federal employees and start making arrests right now. He said, we're going to find out who has the oath and who does not, and we will name and shame, end quote. Articles of surrender to China have already been drawn up in anticipation of a formal surrender to the Chinese Communist Party. Do a search on articles of surrender to China and see what you get. You won't find an article addressing that in a particular way, but look at this. Quote, should we surrender to China now to get it over with, end quote. Here's another one. America surrenders to China. Another, China is preparing for war and the West is preparing to surrender. Another, China is rehearsing for when it overtakes America. Another, why is Biden appeasing China? Another, and the answer, Joe Biden wants a new economic world order. It's never looked more disordered. That's another article. Real answer, however, article, Comer reveals Biden family members receiving payments from Chinese energy company. And Biden administration China ties reveal deeper disturbing truth. And I've got all the articles linked here in my notes. You can get them and read them, and you should. Thousands of Chinese Communist Party agents are moving into the United States through borders. Many of them are bought and paid for by China and are in places of government, federal government. But thousands are creeping across our borders under the cover of the massive migration that's flooding across our borders right now, courtesy of Biden administration. Also, surface-to-air missiles and shoulder mortars are passing across the border and being located throughout the United States. What's going on here? Is there, I think it's obvious, there's preparation for an attack from within. Meanwhile, an entire air wing of the U.S. Army is down, grounded, which will deprive Americans of close air support. The Fourth Hague Convention, now listen to this, the Fourth Hague Convention states, when the attacker controls substantial government functions, the war is won. How much of our government does China already control? Will it come down to a ground war on our own soil, where we just have to rise up and fight, you know, with our own guns and weapons to wrest our liberties out of the hands of these traitors? Who does Biden work for? Well, he works for who pays him. And that is not us. Well, he takes us for all he can get. He's getting paid from China. Well, we won't have time for a break today. I'm just going to go ahead and move to a wrap-up. Biblical culture versus humanist culture. And this is the root of all these problems that are blossoming across the land. It's pretty easy to see that American culture has pretty much collapsed into decadence, which puts us on a self-destruct mode, exactly as planned in the Communist Manifesto I mentioned earlier. Biblical culture is misunderstood and misrepresented by many who call themselves Christian. And I'll have time for only one example. Former U.S. Senator from Missouri from 2007 to 2019, Democrat Claire McCaskill says, quote, Jesus would not support everyone walking around with weapons of war. End quote. I don't know if McCaskill claims to be a Christian. I think she does. But she sure does like to use the Bible and Christian faith to support her wicked, perverse notions like same-sex marriage. Here's an article. Read it. And gun control. Here's an article on that. This is because Jesus was a peaceful man, she said. And she said, quote, I believe very firmly that Jesus would be shocked at what our country is allowing to happen, end quote, with regard to guns in the hands of American citizens. And of course, their understanding of who Jesus is comes from the world and not from the Word. Jesus said, God created male and female and commanded that the man would cleave to his wife, Matthew 19:5. And Jesus told his disciples, effectively, get a gun, boys, Luke 22:36-38. I'll read that one to you. Then said Jesus unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. All right. So as you can see, Jesus was absolutely instructed us to be armed. Anyway, some elements of biblical culture continue to prevail in America, and it's mostly in the area of nature. That's where the battle lines are drawn right now. The LGBTQ whatever thing, the sodomite thing, is just not taking hold in the general public, and not even among our youth, as much as you might think if your brain is buried in the sands of the MSM. Anyway, Americans are not buying. Here's one illustration, a story of some boys at Lakeridge High School in Lake Oswego, Oregon, that demonstrated their protest against placing feminine products in their designated restrooms. These boys repeatedly vandalized these machines. In a message to the parents, the school wrote, quote, in the last weeks, we have been combating vandalism in the boys' bathrooms. Students have been taking the tampon dispensers down and placing them inside the toilets. We would like your help in stopping this form of vandalism. Tampon dispensers in the boys' restrooms. How do the boys react? They're pulling the machines off the walls and sticking them into the toilet. It looks like we might have begun to cross the line into Tea Party reaction. And I mean the original Tea Party. Tea Party reaction to these stupid, intrusive, insulting laws coming down from the woke jokers. Now I have to sign off. Now I've lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. You can leave me a message in our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church as soon as I get home.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.